From Oxbow to Oslo, New York to New Westminster. We're global, baby. Covering what matters to you. Let us know in the comments right now. Welcome to another episode of The Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show. We are under green, as they say in the NASCAR world.
Yeah,
the green flag has dropped. Good morning, Les Lazaruk, voice of the Saskatoon Blades, checking in from the Bridge City today. Hi, Lester. Jacques Dupuis saying good morning from Ottawa. Everybody's, I think, in a considerably better mood. Hopefully a little more bouncy than yesterday with the five-alarm fire that is the Canadian Football League. I hope things have turned down a little bit. Maybe all this rain has dashed the flames.
Yeah, a little bit. You'll hope so anyway, because it hasn't been a really good 48 hours.
No. But we're ready to jump right into the paddling pool that is the RP Show, episode 257 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. There was a little bit of a downer in terms of our guest list today. Here's who I can tell you is going to be on. Hamilton Tiger Cats Special Teams Coordinator Jeff Reinbold. From TSN 1040 Vancouver, Matt Sakaris, award-winning journalist, if you will, and now sports talk host Matt Sakaris. And, of course, Justin Dunk, the man who's been at the forefront of CFL news this week and, you know, for a long time. Justin Dunk could be with us from 3downnation.com. But Brett Kissel was supposed to be with us. He of the three sold-out shows here in our backyard in Regina. Drive-in shows. Brett Kissel, country star. Everybody knows who he is, right?
Yeah.
He's rescheduled today. Apparently woke up with no voice, which I can tell you, for a singer, is like a carpenter not having a hammer. So he can't go to work. So Brett Kissel rescheduling today.
Unfortunate, but I get it.
It's very unfortunate because when people saw the guest list, they got very geeked up. People are writing me, can you ask Brett Kissel this? Can you ask Brett Kissel that? I mean, come on. But whatever. Peter Labardius, very excited and very graciously going to fill that spot from the Flames broadcast crew, which, by the way, as I get into the quick six show topics here today in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, it's not going to be all football. A lot of hockey today throughout this program. The number one topic is the CFL Players Association being too hard on the CFL. I've seen some people say that. I'm not sure that they are. The term arrogant was used by the executive director, Brian Ramsey. I'll get your thoughts on that. Two, the mess that is the Buffalo Sabres by firing the general manager yesterday, Jason Botterill. It was a month ago that Terry Pegula, the owner of the Sabres, saying we're not making a change there, and now they fire him. If I was a Sabres fan, they're long past concerned. I would think that they are into the almost apathetic stage.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Lou about that.
You know, big time. It's tough in Buffalo. And was it Frank Saravelli who wrote the great article on TSN yesterday? You're ripping the Pegulas.
I didn't read it, but I want to go see it.
He talks about, you know, all the missed playoff appearances. They've gone through this many head coaches. They've gone through a number of general managers. They've gone through, you know, a number of years. And the only thing that's remained consistent has been the two Pegulas running the organization. It wasn't kind, and it pointed out that the problems are maybe coming straight from the top, which
of course
often is the case.
I got an update on that, or more info on that, coming up in our sports update a little later on. See, John Kirby in Edmonton writes in and he says, is Brett Kissel going to be on? Yes or no? See, people want to know. John, Brett Kissel bailed. So I apologize, I guess, on his behalf. You know, I'm sorry. I'm pretty big on keeping commitments. But if you lose a voice, you lose a voice. You can't do an interview. But he won't be with us today. Brett Kissel, Peter Labardius will fill that spot. Point three, Canada invites 15 WHL players to their virtual training camp July 27th to the 31st, which will virtually be held in Calgary. I'm sure they have a full plan. I'd love to know how they're going to virtually do a training camp.
Yeah.
Have everybody on Zoom?
Skating with GoPros. And
wouldn't that be cool?
Pass the puck.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it would be kind of neat to get them all working out. I mean, it's not really going to be the evaluation type of training camp, but maybe they'll do little things, have different Zoom meetings or breakoff sessions, start, you know, looking at. They kind of have a good idea from guys that are returning line combos, things like that. I don't know. They're going to have to get creative.
I don't know. Are we able to put comments up? Obviously not, because they haven't been put up any comments yet. Can you put up the comment on my monitor, Clark, please, from Nelson Hakowich, our VP of Sim Events? with regards to the grievance filed by the Players Association. Oh, you can do it. Cool. That's working again. Ta-da! Is the CFL Players Association filing a grievance? The kick in the ass the league needs to remind themselves they are playing with people's lives and to get these players involved and talking. Maybe or maybe it just angers them. Sometimes I wonder if the people at the top really do care about the people's lives below them. I really do wonder about that sometimes. Is that a rhetorical question, Nelson? I hope that it is, because I don't have an answer for that. Let us sometimes wonder. I mean, the good leaders do, the bad leaders don't. What side do they fall on?
Yeah.
You know, moving forward, point four, interesting comment or post from NHL.com that I saw this morning in the newsletter they sent. Stanley Cup playoff dark horse players. I read it a little bit, i.e. who is going to be the Chris Kontos or the
Fernando
coming out of nowhere, yeah, in these Stanley Cup playoffs. And it kind of tied in real well with the Hockey Canada camp story, because the number one player was Arizona's Barrett Hayton.
Whoa.
Remember what a star he was for Canada at the World Juniors? Wasn't that 10 years ago?
Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it?
It was just last winter, but...
What a young star. That's cool. You know, who's going to be that guy who's going to lead the way? Because it's, you know, your Yzermans and your Stamkoses and all these leaders.
Sure.
They're always good.
The ones you expect.
But Chris Draper makes the difference, right? I brought up Fernando Pisani because there's been lots about that Oilers run and a lot of that showing up on my social media feeds. I mean, it's 16 goals or 14 goals in the playoffs. Like, it was unbelievable watching him, including that shorthanded overtime winner in game five, I think it was, or four. But anyways, yeah, that's a cool article that they posted.
Yeah, it is. And the number one guy was Barrett Hayton, but there were several others. And I like that kid. He plays with... He's a Canadian hockey player,
yeah,
right? But I did have a guy say to me, and I know he's listening right now, so I don't want to out him, but he said, can you talk less football and more hockey? And I said, and he was talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is a hockey guy that does like football, but hockey is his thing. And I said, not even TSN or the NHL markets are talking about playoff matchups. They're not even talking about it. So why would we?
Yeah.
When we get closer and it looks like they're going to be on the ice playing in these series, then we'll delve deeply into the series. Shoot, the last time we had Lou on, I said, what do you think about the Jets and Flames in round one? He's like, I haven't even thought about it. Why would we?
I know. You give it that initial thought when it's announced. Oh, the Oilers got the Blackhawks. Huh. That kind of sucks. They got, you know, Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane and... You know, you start looking at the matchup for about 15 minutes.
And then you go, do I have a tea time this weekend at Deer Valley?
Exactly, because you realize that game's not happening till August.
Yeah, over a month away.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the input. Believe me, I love being told what to talk about. I really do. But we're not going to get into the playoff matchups just yet. Doyle A. Benson writes in from Wendell Clarkson, Saskatoon. Good morning, Doyle. He says, Fernando! He really was a great Oiler, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Suspended all the time for dirty hits.
But he was good in the playoffs.
He was great in the playoffs.
Great.
For sure. Point five, podcasts at this time. It seems to me like the mainstream media, correct me if I'm wrong, is getting eaten alive by digital media and podcasts. You and I were talking about this last night, texting back and forth. I was on a podcast last night called The Voice and the Coach, hosted by Dan O'Connor and Mark Hollick, the former coach of the Kootenai Ice and the Prince George Cougars. Love the fact that a coach actually is getting behind the microphone of a podcast.
Yeah.
And it was an awesome visit between the three of us. It'll be posted shortly. The Voice and the Coach. It's a BC hockey podcast. But then I was on the Sean Newman podcast at Lloydminster. And I got to tell you this, with the reaction that I got from people, because it wasn't, the one last night was telling hockey stories. And who doesn't love that?
That's easy.
The one with Sean Newman was a little more about my life. And then I was on a podcast called Canadian History out of Edmonton. And people are tweeting me about this. They're like, man, that was awesome. Man, that was so inspirational. Man, one of my favorites was I was only going to bike 5K, but I ended up biking 25K listening to the podcast. So those are the podcasts I've been involved in. What are yours?
Yeah, same deal. A lot of life. Starting to do a little bit of business stuff, which is cool. Getting asked to do a few of those. But you know, the most recent one was one out of Winnipeg that I did in Manitoba. And it was, yeah, wanted to know the path of the career and things like that. It's cool that the young broadcasters or young media people are paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to guys who have done it. They're doing it in their own way, just like we did it and have done it in our own way, you know, moving through the industry. But, yeah, podcasts are taking over. They are.
Can you put up the comment? Well, here it is. It's Don Pools. And I can't recall where Don hangs his hat, where he's from. But he says, here's my take on the continuation of sports. The only pro sports that run the risk of financial ruin, if not played out, is the CFL. Cancel everything else. I get where you're coming from. Wouldn't necessarily disagree. But just getting the CFL onto the field is the major headache right now. Do you think that if they could just wave a wand, they wouldn't have done it already? That's the problem and the conundrum that Randy Ambrosi faces. And I like the fact, what you said after the show yesterday, that I stuck up for Ambrosi, but made it very clear who's at fault here. Just in my view. Because I'm still on Team Ambrosi. I get that the coaches and the players, well, the coaches specifically don't like him. Scouts and video guys, because they're cutting their wage. But I still think he's acting on behalf of the presidents and owners. It's them. Yeah. And he's standing there just taking it on the chin every day and not saying squat. That, to me, frankly, is admirable.
Not deflecting blame.
Not at all.
Right? Not deflecting
blame.
Not
yet.
Just sitting in the corner, taking it until he can get his feet underneath him, get a little bit of a game plan, and then start coming back. But it's a tough, tough situation. It's a tough situation. And I don't know if Bull made your
quick
six show topics, but you saw his comments this morning.
Some of them.
He's the one guy that's bringing a little clarity to it all, saying, you know, can't we all just get along? Why do we got to fight like Republicans and Democrats? You know, we got to work together on this, but we're not in that situation right now.
The fact is, I do like Bo, and I think we see the things similarly. I've been saying for years, why can't we all just get along and hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
It's not.
That's not how human relations and definitely not how labor relations work. It just doesn't work that way. I wish that was the case too, Bo. I wish a lot of things.
Yeah.
Point six, week two, CFL sim storylines. Because I got to say this, I would far rather talk about a computer-simulated league than sit and talk about the fight between the CFL owners and players and coaches. I'd far rather talk about that. So, it leads to our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. While I call it up, please forgive me. And I don't know what happened with this latest Twitter update, but it is driving me nuts. It is so slow, Twitter. And it's not the Wi-Fi in here. It's not on Paul. It's Twitter, right? It takes forever for GIFs to come up and your keyboard. Anyways, here it is. Which is Canada's game of the week in week two sim? BC at Calgary. A West Division collision there. Always interesting game there. BC at Calgary.
Yep.
Friday, Montreal at Saskatchewan. The return of Naaman Roosevelt to Rider Nation. The president. Hamilton at Toronto, Battle of the QEW, always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, four, Ottawa at Edmonton, Trevor Harris will try to lay the boots to his old team again. There's storylines in every one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, boys, throw up the vote if you don't mind, which would probably not surprise anybody. Leading the way on Facebook, Montreal at Saskatchewan, 81% of the vote. On Twitter, they lead, but not by as much. 59% saying Alouettes at the Riders is the Canada's game of the week. Second place is BC at Calgary on Thursday night. So, in consultation with our director of sim events, Nelson Hakowicz, we will be broadcasting on this Facebook Live channel, Montreal at Saskatchewan, on Friday night. So get ready for all of that. The other three games will be broadcast on Twitch. And as Nelson said, ooh, two networks covering sim games.
This hasn't happened in the CFL for how many years now? It's been like 10 years.
Very long time.
Yeah.
Jeff, the Stampeders fan, says, too early to have a Hamilton versus Toronto game. Check the schedule, brah. That's what's lined up in week two. We're following this by the CFL schedule, okay? Brian from the BC Lions Den podcast writes in and says, good morning from the West Coast. For what it's worth, I was speaking to a CFL player last night, and he said the players were all sent a survey yesterday. He felt the decision on the season was coming soon. Thank you, Brian. And Monty in Saskatoon wants to know what time. It's a 7 p.m. Sask time kickoff on this Facebook Live channel, Monty. On that survey, obviously it went out on the weekend or maybe Monday because players were already starting to tweet about it. And some of the questions are you willing to take less money? Are you willing to play on less time rest? Right? We covered this.
Yeah.
So because those are the quick six show topics, let's loop around back on point one. Is the CFLPA being too hard on the CFL? CFL Players Association referring to the CFL as arrogant. They wouldn't be the first employees to be upset at their employers. Let's just not forget that. Sports is different than real life, but it's not that different from real life. Labor relations, labor laws all still apply to the Canadian Football League. So if you're mad at your boss, you wouldn't be the first, right?
Yep.
So are they being too hard? I'll say this. If Randy Ambrosi comes up with a plan to play, it still has to go to the players, and these are the kinds of questions you're going to get. And when they say, are you willing to play for less money, I don't think that means prorated. Are you willing to ignore the contract you've signed and play for less money because there's going to be less money? I do get where the owners and Ambrosi are coming from here. They're moving heaven and earth to get on the field. Now, players, are you willing to play under the conditions that we're presenting to you?
Yeah.
That's a major hurdle. And that's why I don't think they're going to play.
You have to find a way to come out of this together and make concessions together, meet in the middle, and find solutions. Let the PA be involved in the league's discussions on options. You know, don't close.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Appreciate it. Everybody hanging in with us. I see the audio was still live, and that's good. It's fine. You're here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Reinbold standing by. Do we have the coach? Okay. So, you know what? The poll question today is, which is Canada's game of the week? Leading on Twitter is the Alouettes at the Rough Riders, and some people have said it's far too early for the Ticats and the Argos to play in Toronto or play at all prior to Labor Day. Let's bring in Jeff Reinbold right now, special teams coordinator of the Hamilton Tigers. Coach, thank you so much. Looks like you are still over in Hawaii. Am I right?
You're exactly right. I'm sitting on my porch, and the sun's just coming up over the mountain today.
Oh, it looks beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, I got a lot of questions for you, but let me say this. Toronto, home to your Ticats this Saturday. Is that too early for the battle of the QEW in week two?
Are we playing in the parking lot?
It don't matter where we Yeah.
It don't matter when. It don't matter where. It doesn't matter at all. Anytime it's the Argos, it's on.
Good. Well, we're running computer simulations of that. We haven't set the line yet, but we'll let you know how that goes. I've been thinking about you a lot because you see the players on Twitter. You're very active on social media. They're waiting for an update all the time. They're trying to stay ready. How about you? Because you'd have to jump a plane, cross the Pacific. What's your life like right now in these pandemic times, in the postponement?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rod, whether you talk about CFL guys or NFL guys, anybody that's involved in pro football and probably pro sports. I can't speak for the other sports, certainly, but these are strange times. I mean, you're trying to meet in a virtual way, you know, in the Zoom and, you know, all the different modalities that we have to try and communicate back and forth. We're not allowed to spend time with our players in that realm like the NFL guys are. But I know certainly when you talk to guys both in the CFL and in the NFL, it's difficult because everything that, you know, we always say this, that players, one of the things players really need is continuity, and they need their life to be the same. I mean, they get their creatures a habit. Well, as coaches, we're the same way. This is a brave new world we're in right now. And who adjusts to it the best, who adapts to it the best, I think is really going to have a real advantage when we do start to play.
No doubt, because the CFL will come back. How it will look might be a little different, but it will be back for sure. I just want to have a fun chat with you today, and I'm going to start off with the fun questions with this. You look fantastic, man. You look great. Like, this is clearly your happy place. You are in your element right now.
Yeah, this has always been home to me. You know, Rod, I grew up as a son of professional baseball coach, and we lived everywhere from Coos Bay, Oregon to Bradenton, Florida, and all points in between. And growing up as a kid, I never really felt like any place was home. And then when I came here for the first time, and I know this sounds a little goofy, but when I came here for the first time, I got off the airplane and I just said, this is it. This is where I belong. This is where I'm going to stay. So I get back here every chance I can. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I coach in the CFL, because of the fact that it gives you some lifestyle or some life balance that, frankly, the guys in the National Football League and even in college football now, that you just don't get that. It's 365 days a year, you know, being in the CFL, you do get a chance to get away for a little bit.
You know, I was having that conversation with Mike Kelly. He actually wrote a wonderful article on that on the website, Check Your Game. I'll be promoting that. But we had Westwood on Monday, and Westwood, we asked him, what was the best thing the U.S. American expansion in the CFL brought? And he said, Jeff Reinbold. Westwood said that. So can you talk about starting with the posse back in 94? Was that your true introduction to the Canadian Football League?
No, not really. I'll tell you what, I guess I'm an abnormality in a lot of ways, or anomaly, or whatever they say, because even as a college player at the University of Maine, I didn't aspire, when I knew I was going to go into coaching, I didn't aspire to coach in the National Football League. I wanted to coach in the CFL because when I was in college at Maine, you could get CFL games on television off the Halifax Channel. And I think it was CTV probably at that time. But, you know, I remember Rocky DiPietro and Tom Clements and all of those guys that were playing in the league at that time. And I just thought the game was a far better game. It was more interesting to me. And then I guest coached for the Lions, I guess, the first time in 88. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach in the league. I wanted to be a CFL guy, and I've been very fortunate. I came in 91, really on this is how I got into the league, if the truth is told. And I'm gonna write a book when I'm done coaching, Rod, and I'm not going to write it on your show, but I'm going to give you just a couple I got into the league because Greg Newhouse was our defensive coordinator at the University of New Mexico, and I'd known Greg from his BC Lion days. And OB had taken the BC Lion job, and he was trying to hire Greg as his defensive coordinator. And in the conversations that they were having, OB said, you know, in that typical OB way, he scratched the back of his head and he go, hey, I got to find me a young guy that I don't have to pay very much to coach special team. And Newhouse said, I got a guy for you. And so I talked to OB, and he said, have you ever coached special teams? And I lied, and I said, yes, I had. I'd never coached a down of it. And so I kind of talked my way into the job, and the rest is, as they say, history.
Good for you, by the way. It's that whole, I don't even want to tell about me getting hired in the CFL, but it was figure it out later type thing, which I did. By the way, our viewers want to see your dogs. I don't know if you can do that, but can you tell us about them?
Well, I tell you what, we have a very small dog here. This is actually it's my brother's dog, and it's a Havanese, and it's a Cuban dog. I guess they were born. I don't know what they're bred for, but it's a barking machine, and it is absolutely. You'll hear it on the. If this interview lasts more than 3 minutes, you'll hear Geronimo. He'll be out here patrolling his yard and letting the neighbors know. And then we have. One of the big sports in Hawaii is, in terms of outdoor sports, is pig hunting. And so this neighborhood that we live in is an old Hawaiian neighborhood. So a number of the families own dogs that they take out into the bush and hunt pigs with. So anytime anything gets going, you'll hear the dogs start baying and hollering. So, again, I apologize for if we get interrupted by a pack of dogs, but that's life in Hawaii.
It's fine. The viewers are enjoying it. They just want to know what kind of dogs they are. By the way, guys, can you put up that comment from Paul in Waterloo? Paul Totsky, he's an Argos fan. He says, I saw Jeff talk at the University of Waterloo football dinner 1 year, stepped in for Joe Pau-Pau, never mentioned himself at all, just spoke glowingly about the coach and tried to raise money for the program. Awesome guy. What do you remember about that night?
Well, you know what? Joe Pau-Pau is one of the top guys I've ever met in my life. I mean, I love him like he's my brother. I know the Saskatchewan fans remember him from his days playing quarterback there. And there are a few rare individuals that you meet in life. And Joe was one of those guys, Rod. And he took that Waterloo job. You know, they had just gone through a real tough time, a tough patch. And the program was really on its knees. And he took it over and was trying to breathe life into it. And so when he asked me to come up and speak, I said, Joe, just tell me where and how long, and I'll do everything I can to help you. I still stay in contact with Joe. He's down in San Diego now. And again, he's one of the real, real, true CFL guys. You know, I love this league so much, and I've been really blessed to be a part of it for almost 30 years now. And you know, you think about all the wonderful guys that you meet in this business and, you know, players, coaches, fans, everybody associated with the game. And you know, it's such an incredible league. And it's tough. We're going through a real tough time right now. And sadly, it seems like we keep repeating the same offenses. You know, I remember when 1993, when the group of guys in trench coats walked into our office and said, you got 2 hours to vacate the office. We're going to take over, you know, basically that they had walked on the franchise. And another time the Players Association and Ed Molstad and those guys came into our locker room and said, I mandatory across the board pay cuts. I'm not even going to talk about it. Right. And it seems like we keep repeating the cycle of these things, and we got to get it figured out because it's too good a game. It's too much a part of Canadian culture. It's too precious to go through this kind of stuff that we're going through right now, time and time and time again.
Well, if it truly is at death's door, I'm not sure the CFL is, but it'll be guys like yourself and Joe Pau-Pau and all the greats. We will rally, and it will be saved, there's no doubt. And by the way, for our younger viewers, the throwing Samoan, Joe Pau-Pau, I believe had the record for consecutive completions, which I think was 17. Do you know this, Jeff? And I think Moz broke it at 19. Am I right in any of those numbers?
I think Mazzoli might have broken it, too.
Okay.
I do know this, and I'm going to tell you something. I have great respect for anybody that plays a quarterback position, because when you see what they have to deal with on a down-by-down basis and still look down the field, make their reads, and do all the things that they need to do, deliver the ball on time to the right guy in the right spot, and all that chaos is going on around it. You know, I watched Joe get hit and hit and hit time and time and time again, and, you know, never point his finger at the offensive lineman, never, you know, slam his helmet down, none of the histrionics. He just got back up and kept firing. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was loved so dearly. You know, you talk to Dale Poley and you talk to the old, you know, Aldag and those guys, and ask them about, you know, how they feel about Joe Pau-Pau, and they all say the same thing. They love him to death. And part of it was because he was like, I mean, he was John Wayne in a lot of ways. I mean, he was at the Alamo and the Mexicans were coming over the walls and he was still firing, man. And that's one of the, he's a great one. He's one of the treasures that our game gave us.
You know, they talk about Joe that way, but they also talk about Huff that way. And I say to them, guys, Huff's been a jerk to me. And they're like, no, he's a great guy. You're just in the media, and he doesn't like the media. And I said, well, I'm not normal media. And then I've gotten to know Huff since, and they're right. He's a cool dude, too. But, you know, you mentioned the tough times the CFL is going through right now. Obviously, you're following it closely. Do you have an opinion on what's going on right now? Because I'd rather not talk about it, but we've talked about it a lot. Where do you stand on it?
Well, you know, again, obviously, there are a couple things that are really difficult. You know, let's be honest with you. I mean, it's difficult when you sign a contract and you expect that contract's going to be honored, and then all of a sudden, midway through it, it changes. But again, as you say, this is really good for coaches. This time is really good for coaches because you find out whether you really believe all that stuff you tell players or whether it's just a bunch of bullshit. And one of the things you say to players all the time is, you know, controllable factors. Control what you can control. I can't control how the league's managed. I can't control what our business model is. I can't control any of those things. Only thing I can control is how we prepare our players and, you know, how I do my job. And, you know, that's it. And does it bother me to see our league have to go hat in hand to the government for money? Yeah, it bothers me. Does it bother me when I see our players tweeting out that there's no communication by the league? Yeah, that bothers me. Is it true? I don't know. I'm telling you, it bothers me when I see it. Does it bother me that people keep saying that the league's on its deathbed? Yeah, it bothers me. Because it's a great football league. It's a great league. I will say this till the day I die. If you went to a sports bar anywhere in the world and you put an NFL game on over there and a CFL game on over there, and the broadcast was the same, they used the same number of cameras, the same commentators, same uniforms, same. It was absolutely the same. By 15 minutes into it, 80% of the people would be watching the CFL game. I truly believe that because it's such a great game. And when people watch it, that's how they feel. But we continuously seem to shoot ourselves in the foot publicly. And that's let's face it, Rod, you know this because you're in the media and it's the way life is. Everything's about perception. Right, you can have the greatest game in the world, but if you come off as a second-class product, then that's what people are going to believe that you are. And I refuse. I will fight this till the day I die that anybody tells me it's a second-class league. Now, we may do some things in a second-class manner. Well, that's our fault. It's not the game's fault. The game is a beautiful game. It's played by extremely talented players. It's coached by a lot of passionate coaches that love football, some very good, outstanding football coaches. And it's got a great fan base. But for whatever reason, we can't figure the business side out.
Oh, I know. And we have all these beautiful stadiums, by the way, which are not going to sit empty. Oh. There will be CFL football back. By the way, on the CFL game, I quote Tressman on that, who said this game, whoever designed it was a genius. It's beautiful with the rules and all the nuances and everything, right, compared to the American game. So, I could go on all day, but we got to bring in Matt Sakaris next. Jeff, thanks for this. We continue to follow what you're doing. Just keep it up, and we can't wait to see you soon for real out here on the field.
Aloha, guys. Thank you very much.
The great Jeff Reinbold checking in from Hawaii today. Do we have Matt in, guys? Okay, he is. Matt Sakaris, TSN 1050. TSN 1040, Vancouver. Colin in Ottawa, by the way, writes in all caps, "Preach, Jeff, preach." Yes, we're going to go to a break and we'll come back with Matt Sakaris. Thanks, Matt. Be right with you. It is this Wednesday edition of the RP Show, episode 257 of Canada's morning sports talk show. Continues right after this. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds full-service car wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We invite you to vote on the poll, Facebook and Twitter today, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, which is Canada's Game of the Week. Leading is Montreal at Saskatchewan. Friday night, we'll be broadcasting it on the Sim. Second place is the BC Lions at the Edmonton Eskimos. This is all computer simulated, of course. We go out on video chat right now and welcome TSN 1040's Matthew Sakaris of the TSN Radio Network. Hey, Matt, thanks for sitting through all that. I appreciate it. But isn't Jeff Reinbold, isn't he entertaining?
He is a true treasure of the Canadian Football League. Rod, an American who came over here. I mean, he's effectively Canadian now, right? Like, he's one of us now, Reinbold.
That's right.
The stories that guy could tell from his years in the league, and I caught sort of the back end of that interview and some of it, but you know, his passion, his enthusiasm, not just for football but for life, it's really infectious to be around. I've had a chance to cover some of the teams that he's worked with on staff, and you know when a Jeff Reinbold special teams unit is taking the field, and that's maybe the best compliment I can give a coach for the most part that is it a little more obscure, right, on the special teams side of things. So yeah, no, I adore Jeff and everything that he's brought to the league.
Oh, I think we all do.
Coach.
Yeah, mahalo, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, Matt, this is your RP show debut, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And yeah. It totally came about because I saw you celebrating your one-year anniversary, Rod, so I shouted out congratulations. And your most astute producer said, hey, why don't you come on the show? And I said, you know what? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, perfect.
It's about time I reconnected with my old buddy.
So. Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. You know, I've been a huge fan of yours going back a long time, obviously the Ottawa days. But since I haven't chatted with you yet at all, let alone the pandemic, how are you making out on the air, filling time and finding stuff to talk about out there?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Several weeks ago, Rod, I was talking to Coach Wally Bono. Just catching up with Wally, see how things are going in his life and everything. And eventually he asked me the question. He said, Matt, how do you do a sports talk radio show when you have no sports going on? And I said, you know, Coach, you might not get this because of the quality and depth of quarterbacking you've had over your career. But, you know, when the quarterback's no good and you're trying to win the game with defense, running game, and the special teams, we're trying to win a lot of days with defense, running game, and the special teams. And we don't always have defense in the running game, Rod. So it's absolutely been a challenge. But we covered the news story here in BC. And, of course, COVID-19 hit here early. And it was quite a fear there for a while. We've done much better recently. You know, we've looked back in history at some of our teams and brought some of those stories back to the table. We've looked forward to the Canucks, Whitecaps, and Lions to see what the future's brought. We've done some human interest stories. We've done some features. We've done some fun audience feedback stuff. And yeah, just trying to maintain every day and bring a little bit of sports to the table. But, you know, understanding that sports takes a back seat here,
you know,
given what we're facing.
Matt, you just introduced a term, complementary broadcasting. We were winning on defense and special teams, not on traditional, an offensive win and putting up points the traditional way. I pause for 1 second. Jacques Delorme writes in. He is the nutrition coach for the Regina Thunder Junior Football Program. He says, excuse my ignorance. Where can we see the Sim broadcast? It's on this very channel, Jacques, on Friday night, 7 p.m. SAS time, Montreal, Saskatchewan. We'll have the Sim broadcast of that. Back to business, Matt, because you were on the TSN radio network every Grey Cup. I know how much you love the Canadian Football League. Anna, you're an Ottawa guy initially, now in Vancouver. I need your take on what's going on in the league right now.
Well, I have long believed, Rod, that the CFL shouldn't play this year. I think the absolute worst-case scenario, just speaking football-wise on the league, is that you have to abort a season for one reason or the other. And, of course, COVID would be front of mind on that. I particularly think it would be a bad decision to try and start up one of these bubbles if you get that federal finance money. You're going to get one crack at federal financing and be an awful pity to blow it on an aborted bubble, on something that you couldn't quite complete. So I have long believed that the CFL should put all of their energies, all of their efforts into 2021. Let's face it, 2020 is already compromised. You could say it's lost, it's not coming back. 2021 gives you a fresh and new opportunity. You know, I would use the term CFL 2.0, Rod, but of course that's already taken. But I do think you have sort of a relaunch, refresh capacity in 2021 that might be very good for the country and the nine markets that the league is in. So I'm more focused on 2021 with the Canadian Football League, although I understand there's still efforts afoot to see if they can get back and play an abbreviated season this year. I would desperately miss the Grey Cup. It's one of my favorite weeks, one of my favorite sporting events. You're right. I've had a good fortune of working on Grey Cup radio for the last half decade or so, and absolutely adore bringing the game to Canadians who are driving or who are find themselves in front of their radio on that November Sunday. But I'm taking the long-term view here. I'm taking the view that the Canadian Football League needs to be stronger, you know, for a long period of time and not do everything, and perhaps rashly, perhaps foolishly, just to try and salvage something that's already quite damaged and quite compromised.
You know, a lot of our viewers are writing in and agreeing with you, and that's a fresh take. Where's Subway when you need him? That is a fresh take right there. I haven't heard anybody say that. So I wonder if you've had any pushback, if you've mentioned that on your radio show. A. Yeah. B, Matt, I think you're a fan of Randy Ambrosi. I'm on record as being a fan of Randy Ambrosi. Clearly, he's got to exhaust every avenue, and when he pulls the plug, at least he can say, I did all I could, guys. I did all, and we would believe him. unlike necessarily university sport in Canada. That's a different matter. Where do you stand on the criticism of Randy Ambrosi right now?
Well, here's the thing, and understand, yes, he's got to exhaust every avenue, Rod, but here's the other thing. You know, legally speaking, it is much easier if you get canceled by some sort of authority, provincial, federal, local jurisdiction, than it is if you pull the plug yourself. This is one of the many things that I've learned here during COVID-19, that if somebody shuts you down in government, you've got a case to make with suppliers and things that might be and companies associated with an event that's a little bit different than if you voluntarily pull the plug yourself. So that's an important distinction. I have long been a fan of Randy Ambrosi. I'm not sure in my lifetime, Rod, that we have had a CFL commissioner who is as effective as a communicator with all the different constituencies in the league. And by that, I mean, obviously, his board of governors table, but all the people in football offices, the GMs and the head coaches, the players themselves. And of course, Randy was a player. And the fans. So I've been very impressed with Randy at large over the years as a communicator. I don't necessarily think that these past 4 or 5 months have been his shining moment. I know Solomon Elamimian and some of the guys with the CFLPA have been quite frustrated with the lack of communication on the part of Randy Ambrosi. Let's face it, when you basically stick a hand out and ask for the federal government to come in and help you with emergency financing, that's a tough case to make. And so, I think Randy has taken some hits on that side of things, and perhaps rightfully so. I mean, public dollars at the end of the day are precious, and you do have to account for them and have to account for them in a way that's worthwhile and that makes sense to the Canadian taxpayer. I am going to sort of reserve judgment here over the next few weeks and see what kind of conclusion Randy Ambrosi and his governors come to. My historical criticism of Randy is, and I understand why he's gone about the world and tried to, expand the CFL brand to Mexico and to Europe and things like that. But for me, Rod, and you mentioned I'm from Ottawa originally, and, sadly buried two teams there, the old Rough Riders as a fan in the stands, and then as a beat reporter for the Ottawa Citizen, 4 years of the Ottawa Renegades, and put that team to bed as well. When the Red Blacks came back, I just thought it refreshed and rejuvenated the league like nothing that I had seen. It was an unbelievably charming story. It warmed my heart as somebody who grew up in our nation's capital, but I think it did very well for the league at large, and I was absolutely astonished to see young people in Ottawa flocking to the old Frank Clair Stadium. May the professor rest in peace. Turn that team, turn that park into a party. So for me, and I understand that COVID-19 and there are other factors that complicate this, for me, the absolute number one priority of this league should be the city of Halifax, a 10th franchise, finally playing professional football or having a professional team in Atlantic Canada, and a coast-to-coast league. I think that would be a tremendous legacy for Randy Ambrosi. Needless to say, that gets a lot more difficult now.
Yes, but if the reboot in CFL, what we're calling CFL 3.0, is the reboot in the new league, I think you play in Moncton. This is just my take. And by law of attraction, maybe the people of, because they have a beautiful stadium at the University of Moncton. It's beautiful, Matt. Just get it going. Just get it going, and maybe it'll stimulate Halifax to realize that they need to do it themselves. By the way, all kinds of people checking in. Brian Warishin writes in from the BC Lions Den podcast. Matt Sakaris, one of the few true CFL supporting media members in this city. Thank you, sir. Can I just switch over? Well, for one, that Vancouver-ish art.
Brian is very kind, Rod. I'm familiar with this podcast. The other thing is, Brian hosts a cancer fundraiser every year at the Grey Cup. I had the good fortune of going to it, last year in Calgary. And the great thing about Brian and CFL fans, and Grey Cup in particular, is that, all tribes come together that weekend, right? And lay down their allegiances and get together and celebrate the game and celebrate our country. And Brian is one of the people who unites fans from coast to coast. So that's very appreciated. Thank
He's you. A treasure. Speaking of treasures, on your wall, you're making me miss the West Coast, that Thunderbird-esque West Coast art. Can we get a wide shot, guys? Where did you get that stuff? No. Explain it to us, please.
Oh, boy. Now I'm out of my depth, my friend. This
Sorry.
Was sent to the department that came with artwork. And we like the artwork. The artist's name is C.B. Gruel. And this one here behind me was painted in 1960. But don't ask me anything beyond that, Rod.
Wow, I love that stuff, though. You are, as what's the newspaper that says seriously West Coast? I think it's the province. That is,
yeah, that's the Vancouver. The Vancouver Sun. This would be seriously West Coast artwork. You're quite right.
No kidding. Now, I'm interested, as are some of our viewers, does your scrap 2020 model for CFL translate to the National Hockey League, or is that a completely different kettle of fish?
Well, it's somewhat a different kettle of fish because, of course, the National Hockey League has a much richer television contract, so I think there are a few more revenues to be made there. Plus, you know, the National Hockey League got shut down right in its stretch drive as opposed to before its first game was played. So you got a couple of key differences there that I think you have to account for. But in the greater picture of things, Rod, yeah, no, there is a case here to sit around and go, okay, what are we doing, everybody? We're in the midst of something that for most of us, you know, amounts to some of the scariest days with what COVID-19 has done. You take a look at some of these states down south now, and we're seeing more and more numbers, some of the worst days. The state of Florida, for example, where Major League Soccer and the NBA want to replay. Orlando, Orange County down there. It has not had a good week or so against COVID-19. So we've tried to, on my show, say, look, this is what they have planned. This is what they have scheduled. But, of course, there's still a lot of hurdles to cross here, a number of hurdles to cross for most every league, including the Canadian Football League, but including the NHL as well. So I'm not someone who would be entirely surprised if the day comes where we learn that, yeah, a lot of these seasons are going to be lost and a lot of these bubble plans these bubbles are so problematic, Rod. I mean, it costs so much money to set them up. Then you got the matter of testing, and are they going to buy up so many tests that it drives up the price of tests everywhere? How is the public going to react to all these millionaire athletes getting tests if there is a shortage of tests when these leagues get up and going? Then you have the bubble protocol. For Orlando, for example, they want service workers of the bubble to go home at night. The problem is they got tons of active cases in their community. So are they going to be able to transmit it back into the bubble to the coaches, players, and athletes? So it is just fraught with all sorts of logistical and ethical issues. And I do think some of them still have to be worked out here before we see a puck dropped or a ball kicked in the air.
I'm with you. And unfortunately, because I don't like to be a downer, you've known me a long time, but It's I'll believe it when I see it. And I get the
it's
talk.
It's the reality we're in, Rod. You know, that's the hard truth here. We'd all love, you know, to see sports back, particularly those of us who host 4-hour sports talk radio shows. But there are, you know, let's understand, on the spectrum of life between bread and circuses, sports falls a lot closer to circuses than it does bread.
Yeah, for sure. Well, are you on the air today?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm taking some time off. They have asked us, they said, well, if we are going in July, we want everybody on deck. So some of us are taking some time off prior to what we hope will be the start of sport, but safe sport, of course.
For sure. Well, enjoy the time. I appreciate you spending some of your vacation time with us, Matt. Thank you. Stay safe, and let's do it again. And if you ever need somebody to fill some time, you got my number.
Yes. Oh, we got your number. Happy anniversary again, Rod. Good to see your face again. Good to join your show. Appreciate it.
As always, thanks, Matt. Matt Sakaris, TSN 1040 Vancouver, joining us from his spacious environs in what looks like downtown Vancouver.
Seriously, West Coast. I love the West Coast vibe.
I know. Miss it so much. I love it. I do love it. Phil Kershaw writes in, former chairman of the Ottawa Rough Riders. He says, Matthew did a great job for the citizen when I was with the Renegades. I'm sorry, Phil was the chairman of the Renegades, not the Ottawa two-word Rough Riders. Ralph Core writes in. He says, Ralph Core from Long Island here, a CFL fan since 1958, rooting for a season. Maybe that's a poll question tomorrow. Should they just scrap it all together? Look, Trudeau, just write a check to all the guys. See you, boys, in 2021. When we come back, the league's going to look a lot different, but we're going to have our spit together. Is that a viable option? I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm really not. Okay, you're thinking about it, aren't you? You're thinking about it. Can I get to the sports update while you think?
Do it.
Okay. The Western Hockey League is proud to announce 15 WHL players have been invited to Hockey Canada's virtual National Junior Team Sport Check Summer Development Camp set for July 27th to the 31st. The group of talent is led by 2020 WHL Player of the Year Adam Beckman of the Spokane Chiefs. He's a Saskatoon product, former Nipawin Hawk, and we've had him on this show. I love that kid. Defenseman Bowen Byram of the Vancouver Giants, Kaden Korzak of the Kelowna Rockets. He's from Yorkton, right?
Yep.
Matthew Robertson of the Edmonton Oil Kings, as well as forwards Dylan Cousins of the Lethbridge Hurricanes and Peyton Krebs of the Winnipeg Ice. They represent the five other players selected in the 2019 NHL Draft. The Vegas Golden Knights, by the way, have two guys in there. Korzak and Krebs.
Of course they do.
They're going to be good for a long time. My Golden Knights. The arena for Seattle's expansion NHL team is behind schedule by a couple of months, but is still expected to open in plenty of time for the team to begin play in the 21-22 NHL season. Team President Todd Lywicki said there have been a few issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic that has led to the timeline being adjusted. The initial hope was for the building to be completed in June of 2021. Lywicki said the expectation now is that the venue will be complete later in the summer. And here's one for you, man.
All right.
Listen up. NASCAR Hall of Famer Dale Jarrett announced Tuesday he has tested positive for COVID-19 and now is in quarantine. Hang on. The 63-year-old Jarrett broke the news during NASCAR's Hall of Fame announcement, explaining that's why he didn't return to NBC Sportsnet studio with the other hosts. The three-time Daytona 500 winner and 1999 Cup champion said the only symptom he had was a slight cough and that he was doing well.
Wow.
This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. We are open. Stop in today at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. Call 761-2777 for our hours. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. I just want to say, I'm not downplaying the severity of the coronavirus, but my word, bringing the world to its knees over, for some, a slight cough. Don't at me. Just saying. Whoa.
Yeah.
What a time we live in right now.
Oh, big time. Big time. And that's it. You don't have any symptoms, and then you got to go into quarantine. Problem is, for some, I think the symptoms get worse, right? And then it becomes really, really bad. But for a lot, it doesn't. And so that's kind of like, you're right. And it's hard to see the other side. You know, with the NBA going to Disney World in Orlando, they're now talking about not letting the coaches in. If they're older.
NBA.
If they've reached a certain age.
You know, I know. Popovich. There's like three coaches over 65.
There's a couple, yeah. Right? That they're talking about not letting them go. They can make that decision and allow them to be there or not be there. So it's the world we live in.
By the way, just one comment before we break and we'll run for hour one. We had some technical problems that delayed a little bit the feed. Robert Kazakoff in the wonderful city of Estevan, the energy city, writes in and he says, Robert Kazakoff reporting that the 7-Eleven in the energy city, Estevan, fixed me up with a peach mango Red Bull. And now I think my name should be Kaz the Spaz with wings. You can't make your own nickname, though. You can't. That's a thing. You can't.
People are going to call me Ace.
Right. You can't make up your own nickname. Well, come up with. I do like Kaz the Spaz, though. I do get that. In Calgary, they call Peter Labardius Lubo. I never figured that out. We'll ask him that to kick off hour two. We came up with a nickname for you yesterday, and you really didn't like it. And you disliked it so much, I won't even blurt it out of here. Out of respect for you.
Well, I appreciate it. No, it was fun. It was fun. I'm okay.
But I'm still not going to say it.
Okay, well, that's good.
I knew you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Funny as hell, though.
It was pretty funny.
Peter Labardius to kick off hour two. What a rollicking hour one.
That was great.
With Jeff Reinbold and Matt Sicaris. Man, it's been great. Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning. Hour two coming straight ahead on the RP Show, Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad. Now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.